You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Manoush Zomorodi, host of WNYC's podcast Note to Self, sitting in for Leonard Lopate. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. And what would you do if you suffered from a severe form of obsessive compulsive disorder, which made it nearly impossible for you to live a normal life, and traditional medications and therapy were no help? Adam Strauss's solo show, The Mushroom Cure, chronicles his efforts to overcome his OCD by taking hallucinogenic mushrooms and the long, bizarre trip, yes, pun intended, that followed. This show won the Overall Excellence Award for Solo Performance at the Fringe NYC Festival 2 years ago, and it's now playing at the Cherry Lane Theater on Commerce Street in the West Village. It's a limited run until August 7th, and I'm so delighted to welcome Adam Strauss to the Leonard Lopate Show. Hey, Adam.
Hey, thank you, Manoush.
All right, let's just set the background here. You have a degree, actually, in psychology from Brown University, but then you became a stand-up comedian. Connection between studying psychology and putting yourself on the stage making jokes?
There was a lot of time elapsed between those two things. I took up stand-up quite a bit after I graduated college. But I would say, I could draw some sort of facile connection where, you know, ultimately...
Go for it.
Well, comedy is about connecting to people. And I think psychology, clinical psychology, is also about forming some sort of connection and really trying to let someone see you, to let someone in. And I think that's the best stand-up for me. The stand-up that I find most engaging is where there's real vulnerability there.
So obsessive-compulsive disorder, can you describe your variety of it? You said to me right before we went on, you're like, you know, it wasn't just washing hands, right?
Right, it wasn't. In fact, I didn't have hand washing at all. I actually haven't showered in 3 days. No, that was... I feel like I haven't showered in 3 days since I just rode the subway here.
Sweat-drenched,
yeah.
For real.
But no, I didn't. I would say I'm pretty much in the normal range in terms of hygiene. My OCD, it focused on decision-making. So I'd make a decision. It could be a relatively trivial one. I'd talk in the show about, you know, what shirt to wear, what side of the street to walk down. As soon as I'd make that decision, I would feel an overwhelming compulsion and urge to reverse that decision.
Huh.
But there would be logic behind it. The logic could be, I should cross over to the other side of the street because the other side of the street is sunny and I need some sunlight. I need, you know, vitamin D. It's important. That could reduce my anxiety. And if I did reverse my decision, I would then realize immediately, wait, no, I had it right the first time.
So you're, in this case, you're crossing the street back and forth from shade to sun, shade to sun.
Yeah, literally zigzagging down the street. And that sort of... ultimately, it's perfectionism. It was wanting to be absolutely certain that I was making the perfect decision. And I think that comes down to all sorts of interesting, really existential issues about control. How much do we control? How much do our decisions actually matter? But for me, it was, I mean, classic OCD, and I'd say all forms of OCD, it's almost an addiction in that you engage in a behavior in an attempt to reduce anxiety. It could be hand washing or it could be decision making. But that behavior actually creates more anxiety. So I'd reverse a decision. I'd feel a little bit better for a second, but then the anxiety would creep back up. So then I'd reverse again. I'd feel better for, you know, a half second, but then it would creep back up. The same way hand washers will, they will feel some relief when they wash their hands momentarily, but then they'll think, well, wait a second, maybe I missed a spot. Uh-huh. Maybe I didn't use the right antibacterial soap.
Mm-hmm.
I better do it again.
So when did you realize that you needed a diagnosis for this, and when did you seek clinical help for this, and what did you try?
Yeah, I mean, I really tried everything. I did not know it was OCD until it had really taken root in every aspect of my life. It was, you know, just dominating me.
How old were you when that was?
This was late 20s when I was diagnosed. And I'd seen therapists, but none of them had diagnosed it, probably because the presentation, it wasn't the typical hand washing. So once I was diagnosed, I actually was already on medication for anxiety. And over the course of, you know, several years, I tried a half dozen SSRI medications, mm-hmm. Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, Xanax, which is an SSRI, benzos. I tried really every type of pharmacotherapy that's indicated for OCD. I saw multiple specialists. I tried holistic approaches, yoga, meditation, acupuncture, and my experience...
You're making me anxious just talking yeah. about all the different things that you try.
Well, you know, OCD, it really is, for most people, a progressive disease, because I think it does have that addictive aspect where the more you engage in the behavior, the worse it makes the OCD, somewhat like alcoholism. So my experience was pretty common, which was as the years went by, it got worse and worse.
So whose idea was it then to try something slightly more radical?
Well, I was, as I recount in the show, I was Googling for, you know, the umpteenth time OCD cures, and there was a search result that I hadn't seen. It was a study that was published in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry where they gave 9 patients with really debilitating OCD doses of psilocybin, the active compound in hallucinogenic mushrooms, and all 9 of them had a pretty remarkable response, a response that really dwarfs what you typically see with pharmaceuticals. And at that point, obviously, I couldn't, you know, pick up a prescription at Duane Reade, but I was desperate and I figured, you know, might as well try this. What do I have to lose?
In the show, at this point, I mean, I feel like we should, how do you compress that time of being so miserable with trying to figure out what you have, how to treat it? How do you do that on stage?
That's been one of the challenges of figuring out how to tell this story most effectively. I am a little bit obsessed, I suppose, pun intended, with really being truthful and accurate. Having said that, I've come to understand that some compression is necessary. I can't literally take people through, you know, 5 years of my life in real time. So,
much as we'd love to come right. along with you, Adam.
So, it's sort of picking highlights and that representative examples, basically, to try to, you know, I want people to really feel what I experienced.
So, okay. When you heard about the mushrooms, were you like, oh, that, I mean, did you think of the Aztecs who used to take them for spiritual reasons? Did you think of, like, Timothy Leary? There definitely was a time when I was in college in the early 90s when people were really into staying up all night and watching the sunset rise
right.
while they were really high on mushrooms.
I had tried mushrooms and LSD in college, but because I was on SSRIs at that time, again, hadn't been diagnosed with OCD, mm-hmm. but generalized anxiety disorder, I think, was my diagnosis mm-hmm. at that point. Those medications often negate the effects of psychedelics, so I didn't really trip.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Huh.
So for me, it was really, honestly, what it was is I remember I read an article, it might have been the Times or someplace about this study. I found the original study. I read that study, and the results were just phenomenal. And so for me, it was really, it was almost an empirically based decision. It was, wow, this shows tremendous promise. Nothing else is working. I've got to try this.
Okay. So you decide you got to try this.
Right.
How do you even go about that?
Well, as I recount in the show, it turned out not to be that easy to find mushrooms at that particular point in time. New York evidently was undergoing a bit of a mushroom drought. So part of the quest recounted in the show is
adding.
Yeah.
I'm talking to comedian Adam Strauss. His solo show is called The Mushroom Cure. It's at the Cherry Lane Theater in the West Village until August 7th. Okay, so New York City's in a mushroom drought, but you're determined, having read
yeah.
this research, that this might be the answer for you.
So as it turned out, you know, purely coincidentally, I wound up meeting someone in Times Square, of all places. I was doing stand-up comedy, and I was around there, who we developed a relationship. And I later learned, after we'd sort of started dating, that she actually had an experience of essentially curing her clinical depression with psychedelic cactus,
huh.
which is a real thing that I was not aware of at
the
time.
Is that different than
peyote? Or you were going to say ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca.
It is. Ayahuasca is another plant-based psychedelic that's been used by, you know, indigenous cultures for probably thousands of years.
So she suggests, let's try the hallucinogenic cactus instead of the mushroom, vegetable, mineral, whatever.
Right.
So what happens then?
So the show, it's not a short show as we were discussing. It's about an hour and 25 minutes. So to kind of take you through the short answer of it, initially, I had some experiences, but they did not really help with the OCD.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I attributed it to the fact that I hadn't had full-on experiences or intense enough experiences.
Mm-hmm.
There was probably some residual tolerance because of the anti-anxiety medication I'd been on. I got off of it to do this stuff. I realized I had to.
That's risky.
It was, but my desperation at this time was so high that it was, you know, there was really an attitude on my part of I have nothing to lose.
Huh.
You know, I didn't think this stuff would kill me, and actually it's quite safe organically. People don't really overdose in the sense that you can on, say, heroin or something like that. But even if there was physical risk, I still would have done it just because, I mean, I didn't have a life. I mean, I was, you know, leaving my apartment.
Oh,
I was
God.
Not functional. My relationships had withered. So any risk would have been worth it to me at that point in time.
So in the play, tell me about presenting this experience then of eating. Do you eat the cactus?
There's all sorts of really drinking. You blend it up, you dice it, and I actually take people how
throw it in a smoothie, right, Adam? Why not?
It actually isn't so different from a smoothie,
right, like aloe.
Quite different taste wise. It's pretty unpleasant tasting. But yeah. So I tried the cactus. It didn't really work, and then I branched out into other psychedelics, synthetic psychedelics. I mean, because I'm obsessive by nature. And I separate that out somewhat from the OCD. I think obsessiveness is not a bad quality when applied to...
Well, you're also an artist, so...
Right.
Sorry, that kind of comes with the job description.
And it's rewarded in art. You know, it actually is worth it spending an extra 20 minutes working on the exact phrasing of a sentence.
Right.
It's probably not when you're sending an email to your friends, which I could, you know, which I used to get caught up in that.
Which comes back to your point of decision making, deciding how to prioritize where to put your energy.
Yeah, and I think that's such a universal problem because... what I see as sort of the cosmic, I'll use the word joke as a G-rated word here. I usually use a different word, but I believe in free will. Granted, there's actually scanty scientific evidence for that, but my primary experience is that I have free will. And I think most people believe that they have free will. So I believe that I and everyone has absolute freedom to choose whatever they want to choose in any given moment. But the cosmic joke is the results of those choices are completely unknown and largely, maybe entirely, outside of our control. And that's terrifying.
Presenting you getting high on various hallucinogenics, how do you do that on stage? And what's your goal at that point in the play?
So I would say the drug experiences themselves are a relatively small part of the play. Just because I think at a certain point...
what are you going to do, like flash purple lights all
right,
around or
I mean,
something?
I can get into it. It's kind of fun, you know. But it's also... there's a limited emotional depth I think you can achieve in depicting these experiences. The experiences themselves may be very profound emotionally, but unless if everyone in the audience is on mushrooms, they're probably not, you know...
this could be the next one.
Well, someone has suggested involved with the business side of the show concessions. So...
we might have to move the show right. to Colorado.
Well, Colorado, they've actually, side note, but they had a Colorado Symphony Orchestra had a concert where people were encouraged to bring their own cannabis, which I think would,
interesting.
So
I really want to mention the fact that you are donating the profits from this show to a nonprofit organization called, is it MAPS or MAPS?
MAPS, Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. MAPS is the acronym.
So are they trying to get psychedelic drugs legalized?
Well, I think ultimately they probably wouldn't disagree with that. Legalized is a tricky term. What they're trying to do right now is, well, their immediate focus is on treating people with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, with MDMA, which is commonly, you know, referred to as ecstasy, though ecstasy can be adulterated with various things. They are now entering phase 3 clinical trials, which is the last phase before FDA approval. They're predicting in about 2021, this will be an approved therapy for PTSD. So, but they have also done work with other psychedelics. They actually sponsored or were one of the sponsors of that initial study of psilocybin for OCD that I read years ago that inspired my own show and my own quest. And they're just doing phenomenal work. And the results they're getting with PTSD, with other disorders, I mean, it blows the best results you're seeing out of Big Pharma out of the water. It's phenomenal.
Just last question, and not to be a spoiler here, would you say this is a happy ending?
Yes. What I would say is, the way I look at it is, psychedelics, I think, were necessary for the recovery I've benefited from. I think they alone were not sufficient. There were other things, if you see the show, that sort of came in. And that's in keeping with the best research we have today, which is what MAPS does. They don't just give people, you know, drugs and say, you know, call me in the morning. It's embedded in this therapeutic context with therapy, with follow-up. So I think done in the right context, these compounds have tremendous, really unprecedentedly tremendous potential to alleviate human suffering. And you know, that was my firsthand experience as well. Absolutely.
Adam, thank you so much.
Thank you, Manoush.
I've been speaking with Adam Strauss about his one-man show. It is called The Mushroom Cure. It's running at the Cherry Lane Theater through August 7th. For more information and tickets, please visit wnyc.org/lopate. This was fascinating.
Yeah.